Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast, and welcome back to another installment of our Internal Harmony series. If you are new here, I paused our Bible on Business series that we've been doing for the last year in order to have this conversation around internal harmony. I am one who has preached for years the importance of harmony over balance. I don't like the word balance because I feel like when you are trying to pursue balance, by definition, what you're trying to do is allow the weight to be distributed evenly, because that's a requirement for things to be balanced. But I believe that life, all of your responsibilities, the hats that you wear, do not hold the same weight. And so balance, in my opinion, is a meaningless pursuit. But instead, we need to pursue harmony. How do I make all of the elements of my life, from motherhood to marriage to business to career to school, whatever the case may be for you, how do I make all of these different aspects of my life flow together in a way where there is cohesion, where there's harmony, where there's ease, where there's peace? That's always been a focus of mine for years now, and I've discussed it often in my books as well as on this show. More recently, as I was trying to be proactive about some transitions happening in my life, I got back on this harmony conversation. So I was in a place where I just had my daughter. I was getting ready to start law school. I was thinking a lot about what this transition is going to look like with 3 kids and a heavy, demanding schedule with school, in addition to still having my businesses. And as I did all the things that I knew how to do to have harmony, I'm delegating stuff, putting together like the function for our household, seeing what I need to implement and all of these different things, I got to work on the logistics. But what I realized in that is something is still missing, because the problem is not that I'm overwhelmed with all I have to do. The problem is that I'm trying to do all of this in my own strength. So I need to course correct. Something is missing here. And so what I realized is that a terrible habit of my own is that I can get swept into the busyness of life as opposed to maintaining the pace of grace, as opposed to maintaining a disposition where I am surrendered to and subject to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I just gave in often to busyness and self-reliance. And so as I sought the Lord on this, and with a repentant heart and really asking for Him to show me myself so that I could change my ways, this concept of internal harmony came up. And what I mean by that is the external harmony is about the logistics of your life. How do all of these things work together in a cohesive manner? Internal harmony is, how do I exist and live in this temple that is the Lord's, for in a way to where I am in alignment with, and as I said, subject to His Holy Spirit, to where no matter what is going on externally, I still have the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life, not because I've worked to try to produce them, but because they're evident due to my submission to Him. And in this conversation with the Lord, man, I got so many good things that I wanted to bring this here on the podcast. And so that's how we have landed on this internal harmony series. I realized in my research that there are four psychological factors that keep us from having this internal harmony. The first was cognitive overload, and we went over that. The second was disembodiment, and we went over that in the last episode. And today I want to talk about emotional suppression. Is different than disembodiment. Disembodiment is when you totally are so far gone outside of your physical body that you don't even notice or feel anything. Emotional suppression is those emotions are activated, but you push them down for whatever reason. And so we're going to cover that today. Before we get there, though, I want to give you a little testimony and an update on what internal harmony has been looking like for me lately. As we have been reading even the Charles Stanley book, going through this series, I have been pulling together so many different tips and tools and practical things that you could do to be able to have this internal harmony. And there are things that I have been doing in my life as well. And I wanted to bring it here on the show to let you know that I'm not just talking about these things. This was birthed from my quiet time with the Lord, and it's something I'm actively working on. And I was telling a friend of mine today that I feel like I'm truly experiencing this grace of the Lord, this internal harmony that we've been discussing. So let me fill you in. I started law school about 2 weeks ago. We started with orientation, and this week was the first official week of classes. Now, I have planned for what life is going to look like while I'm in school. I have a nanny now who comes to take care of my 2-year-old and my infant. I have my 5-year-old who is starting kindergarten this year, so he'll be at school. My husband was on board, very supportive of what the Lord is leading me to do with this law school journey. My business partner with the studio, my aunt, she is supportive of this journey. So she has been taking on a more active role with a lot of the things with the studio. And so I have so much support, and I have been planning for what this transition was going to look like and how to make it as smooth as possible. And again, a big part of that planning was me checking in with the Lord so that I don't get sucked into my own bad habits of self-reliance and I'm able to maintain that internal harmony. So I have not been letting up about living a spirit-filled life. And when I tell you guys, I have been experiencing a ease and a peace that can only be attributed to the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm not busy, but the busyness, I was trying to explain this to my husband recently because he checked in with me to ask how I was feeling about everything. And I said, you know, I'm physically very tired. The days are long. There's a lot of physical exertion from I'm breastfeeding. So I'm pumping throughout the day at school. I'm breastfeeding at night at home, doing things with around the house with the kids, in addition to the mental exercises of the organization of the family and business and school and all of these things. So I was telling him, like, I'm physically tired, but I feel so much at peace, to where I'm not overwhelmed at all. I'm not stressed at all. I'm not in a space where I'm like, oh Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't feel that way. There's this confidence that I have right now, even though I'm up at 4:30. My alarm goes off at 4:30 in the morning, starting my day, breastfeeding all night, sat and paying attention in class, 100 pages plus to read every single week in addition to other assignments. Law school is, man, listen, shout out to all the lawyers, because I knew it was going to be difficult. I knew it was going to be challenging. I had no clue all of what this was going to embody, but I feel prepared to handle it. And anything that I may not get right, I feel prepared in handling that too. And so I wish that I could give y'all what I feel, but I can't. The best that I could do is describe it and say that I am experiencing what it means to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's been beautiful. I'm the busiest that I've ever been in my life, but probably the calmest I've ever been in my life as well. And not just externally calm, but settled, at peace, surrendered, trusting. These are things that we know we need to embody and we need to get to. But I don't have the words, but I wanted to do my best to articulate it, because I'm now understanding that this is how the Lord wants us all to live all the time. He didn't promise us that life would be easy. In fact, he promised us that the opposite, that suffering is a part of this, that life is going to be difficult. We live in a fallen world, but that doesn't mean that we have to get swept in to the foolishness that may be happening around us or the busyness that may be happening around us. The Lord wants us to operate from a settled and established and an anchored space despite what may be going on. He wants us to have the disposition that Jesus had on that boat in the storm where he was resting. This is the life that the Lord wants us to live. He doesn't want us in overwhelm. He doesn't want us overthinking. He doesn't want us with anxiety and depression. He wants us in a state of peace, of surrender, of knowing that today, no matter what is going on, no matter who tries to call, no matter where, what direction something tries to pull me in, I am deciding to abide in him. I am deciding that I'm going to live as a branch and be connected to the vine. I have decided that I'm not going to allow my own perspectives and my own desires and my own way of doing things to lead me. I have decided that I'm going to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be in control. I have decided that I am going to tame my flesh and exalt him. And then obeying whatever comes from that and enjoying the fruit of the Spirit, though, that comes from that. And so I want to share with y'all just a couple of things that I've been doing. We talked a lot about rhythm versus routine. I can't remember what episode that was. And I was telling somebody about it recently that I still couldn't remember what episode that was. Because when I tell you I record this podcast, close this laptop and move on, that's exactly what happens. But we talked about rhythm over routine. And I was telling you how a lot of us want to have these Christian routines where we do the things that we could check off our to-do list and have these dopamine hits, where we have our quote unquote quiet time where we've read the paragraph and the scripture on a devotional or that pops up on a Bible app. We listen to some gospel music. We maybe said a quick prayer. And then that's it. We move on our day, never to think about, meditate on, or acknowledge the Lord at any other point. That's a routine. It's something that you do and you check off, but it's not fully dependency or relationship or closeness and intimacy that we want to have with the Lord and that we need to have with the Lord in order for us to achieve internal harmony. And so I proposed to you in that episode that I believe that what we need to be searching for is rhythm. How can I live from a place to where I'm dependent on him? How can my quiet time go from just in my closet or on my bed or whatever designated space you may have? How do I take my quiet time from that to me consistently walking in a place of closeness to the Lord where I could hear from him and obey him and course correct as he directs me? That's a rhythm. That's not that routine that you're checking off. This takes you from that routine to a true lifestyle, a daily dependence, a moment-to-moment dependence that's necessary for us to achieve what we're looking to achieve. And so, of course, as I'm sharing this revelation with you, these are things that I'm also living out in my life. And so I've told y'all how, even as we was going through the Charles Stanley book, that these are some things that I want to take and try and see what is going to work. So I'll tell you, not just giving you tips, but I want to tell you what has really been working for me and that I want to advocate for you. This episode is brought to you by IXL. And my household education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. The first thing, and we'll get to emotional suppression, but I want to check in to let y'all know, not just in theory, but what I've seen has truly been transforming me into this place that we've been discussing. So the first thing is I've been offline. Not completely. I might click and check a message here and there. I might forget somebody's birthday and go look on Facebook. And I might watch a TikTok or two if somebody sends it to me, but I'm not consuming social content on a consistent basis. I'm not tapped in online. I recently, for those of you who don't know, I live in the DC area. When I was at school, the school I go to was in the city in DC. And the professor kept talking about telling us to be safe. Like, hey, when you leave here, please be safe. You know, there's a lot going on with this president and this administration. And I'm like, what in the world did he do now? I had no clue. I text my husband, like, they keep emphasizing for us, people of color specifically, to be safe. What did Trump do? And so my husband filled me in on what was going on. But I didn't have to deal with the stress of, man, I got to go into the city. Oh, my goodness. Let me make sure I don't go this way. Let me go that way. Let me check to see where he's deployed the National Guard and all of these places he's policing. Are there any protests going on? Let me make sure I avoid the protests so I can stay safe. And just all of these different anxieties would have most definitely come up had I been online. But it didn't. I didn't know what was going on. I only knew based upon word of mouth, which is how it should be. But I give that example just simply to say, by me not to advocate being uninformed, we should be informed about what's going on. And I would have figured it out. I mean, I would have known what was going on eventually. I just didn't check my phone that morning. But what I'm saying is there's a base level of peace that you already have when you don't have access to what's going on everywhere all the time and know what everybody thinks about it as well. That is just way too much of a mental load. That is way too triggering. I mean, I have 2 sons. Something that has bothered me from the day I found out I was pregnant with my oldest son And definitely when I found out that he was a boy, was the responsibility of raising a Black man in America. I had my oldest son in May of 2020. So this was the height of COVID, as well, I wouldn't say the height, but this was like the earlier stages of COVID. The world was shut down. And this was around the time where George Floyd was murdered. So the climate, the political climate was, man, it was a lot happening. And I had a lot of anxiety around having a son and raising a Black man in America. And I had a lot of internal conflict of raising him as a Christian and the principle of the Bible that I want to raise my son on, and reconciling that with the reality that he's going to live and experience in his country. I really struggled with that. And so I knew that this subject matter in particular was definitely going to trigger me. So by me being able to just simply be offline, I avoided some emotional turmoil, stress, anxiety that I didn't need, because what was that going to do other than stress me out and disrupt my internal harmony? Have you ever been in a space where there's something that you're particularly struggling with? And somehow you log online and you see it. You may be struggling with the Lord calling you to entrepreneurship and you feeling like it's taking too long and you want to know when it's your turn. And you log on and you see all of these people who don't even love the Lord or live for him doing so well and getting all the deals. Then you start comparing and getting triggered. Let's say that you're dealing with being single and you want to be married. And you're waiting for the Lord and you feel like you've been waiting forever for the Lord to send you your husband. And then you get online and somebody else is engaged. Somebody else is starting their family. Whatever it is that you may be waiting on the Lord for, I feel like the enemy is very good at strategically putting things in our attention to cause us to be stressed out, to cause us to be impatient, to cause us to be frustrated, so that it could drive a wedge and a disconnect between us and the Lord. Because you started your day saying, God, I trust you. I'm going to follow you today. Holy Spirit, have your way. You prayed, you worshiped, you did all of that. You went and opened up your phone, and then you're reminded of something that puts you in a space of disappointment. And that disappointment then breeds disconnection. And so now your harmony is disrupted completely, just simply because of what had your attention and how the enemy used it in that moment. And so I'm not saying crawl into a hole and don't look at anything anywhere. But what I am saying is an element of being digitally disconnected can be very, very beneficial to your pursuit of internal harmony. And I say that as well because I feel like it's been very beneficial to mine. This is why I'm on and off social media a lot. There'll be times where I might be on it for a little bit. I'm cool. After a while, I'm like, okay, I'm not dealing with this. And I'll be off for a few months. I might pop back in, then I'm off for another few months. Because I could easily see the difference. And so that's one thing that I have been doing that I believe has been very beneficial, is being digitally disconnected. The second thing that I have been doing is not limiting my time with the Lord to a physical space. We don't have to go to the temple anymore to spend time with the Lord. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And his spirit is an indwelling spirit. So wherever we go, he go, because he resides on the inside of us. So he's not confined to your prayer closet, to your kitchen table, or wherever you go and meet with him. He is wherever you are. And for me, I've really been trying to tap into that. And so what that looks like is when I wake up in the morning, I take some deep breaths, because my brain, for me, y'all, this brain, man, as soon as it cuts on, I start running through all I have to do. I start running through what I got to get ready for the kids. So what do I need to do to make BJ's life easier while I'm gone for the day? When do I need to pump today based on my schedule? So I could, how much milk do I need to produce that is going to cover the time that I'm not at home? So baby girl got what she needs. What am I going to eat so that I'm not out here eating garbage? Like, so much goes over my head the second I open my eyes. And so what I've been doing is those exercises we've talked about in previous episodes. So when I wake up, once I get my bearings, I take some deep breaths. 4 breaths in, 6 breaths out. 4 breaths in, 6 breaths out. And that calms me down. And I say, Lord, good morning. I welcome you into this day. I surrender to you on this day. I ask that you have your way. And it's just simple. I don't go into a full, in the name of Jesus. No, I'm not doing all that. I'm just acknowledging the Lord, calming myself down, putting him in his rightful place, which is number one, and me just following his lead. And then I get started. I go brush my teeth, wash my face. I come downstairs, do whatever it is I need to do on my computer, and get the day started. I have a commute to school. That's perfect time for me to talk to the Lord. I've been listening to Galatians lately because that's where I've been hanging out in the text. So I just go to Galatians in the Bible app, press play, and let them read it to me. And I'm driving, I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord. Once I get to school or any transition I have, I've been taking another pause, taking my deep breaths, because I have to do this multiple times a day, because I could just mentally, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of logistics. So I could very easily get swept up in it. So once I feel myself, and this actually happened recently, where today, actually, my son started kindergarten today. And so this was my first time doing my schedule with him in school. The last couple of weeks, I started school, but he hasn't been in school. So our nanny's here during the day, but she's not watching my oldest. So I have to find somewhere for him to go. So he's been going back and forth between like my father-in-law and my mother's house. So I have to take him wherever he's going in the morning. That's what I've been doing the previous 2 weeks. Now he has to go to school. So instead of me handing him a t-shirt and some shorts to throw on in the morning, he has to wear his uniform with a tie and all of this. I got to check his book bag and make sure I reviewed everything from his teachers. Let me, you know, all of these things. I got to make sure he has breakfast and all of that. I wasn't doing that before when I first started school a couple weeks ago. So this morning, this is my first routine with him. I'm breastfeeding my baby girl. Because I have limited opportunities to pump during the day, I want to make sure when I'm home, I'm nursing her as much as possible. I didn't realize until this morning that my original plan was to drop my son off at school and then go to campus, and I'll get to campus early and I'll have time to read and study before my classes start. But that doesn't work with my pumping, or excuse me, with my nursing schedule, because that takes away an opportunity for me to nurse one more time. So it's better for me to leave home later than for me to leave home earlier. I didn't take this into account when I first made this schedule, because her breastfeeding schedule has changed since I did that. So this morning, got my son ready. I didn't get myself ready early as I should have, because I was trying to catch up on a couple things that I fell behind on as far as like prepping the night before. Take my son to school. It was great. His first day of kindergarten. So, you know, put on his uniform. We taking pictures, drop him off at school. Of course, I'm crying in the car because my baby is not a baby anymore. I mean, he still is, but, you know, he's a big boy now. So I was feeling all the feels. I was also feeling, after I finished crying, I was feeling that clock just going. And I'm somebody who hates being late. Being late is a huge pet peeve of mine. I hate for my time to be wasted, and I hate to waste other people's time. Being late bothers me, and I do not tolerate it for myself. So when I say I was getting ready to be late, that means instead of me being 15 to 20 minutes early, I was going to be like right on time, which for me is the equivalent of being like 30 minutes late. So I'm getting a little frazzled because the clock is ticking. I didn't get dressed the way that I didn't get dressed as I probably should have when I first woke up. So now I still have to get dressed. I still have to nurse. And then I still have to get out the house, get my pumps ready because I usually pump in the car on the way to school. So I have all of these tasks that I need to do. And time just seems so limited. And I found myself once I got in the house just moving real fast to get everything done and to get out the house. And in that, I chose to stop because I felt it coming on. I felt the stress. I felt the anxiety. I felt the rushing. And I stopped and I took 4 breaths in, 6 breaths out, 4 breaths in, 6 breaths out. I said, Lord, you know I do not like to be late. I didn't prepare as best as I should have this morning. And instead of beating myself up about it, I am about to get dressed. I'm going to leave. And when I get to class, prayerfully it's on time. God, I ask that you lighten up some traffic or whatever could be causing delays on the road. But I'm not going to get sucked into that pace. I'm choosing to stay in pace with you. And I finished getting dressed. I got out the house and I was in class on time. Granted, class started at 10. I was sat by 9:58, but I wasn't late. And as I was driving, I was actively seeing on the GPS how traffic was easing up. And so that has been something that's something I did today, but that has been a common practice where I could feel myself going in the direction of old habits and I choose to pause. We talked about this in previous episodes. One of our strategies is to pause. Remember, I tell you constantly that self-awareness is a secret to success. And so for you, I would suggest as you pursue your internal harmony, whatever patterns of behaviors that you have that causes you to go into self-reliance mode, recognize it. And recognize it not as just something that is in the back of your head, but recognize it to where you know when you're actively doing it and you can pause for a second. That's another way that you acknowledge the Lord throughout the day and you get that rhythm. A part of our rhythm needs to be recognizing when our flesh is walking out of alignment so that we could pause and reel ourselves back in. And then we thank God for the way in which he worked things out. So when I got to class on time, I thanked the Lord that I was there. I didn't even realize my class was only an hour. I thought it was 2. So I had an extra hour after class to do anything that I feel like I might have missed out on earlier in the morning because I was running short on time. And so I thank the Lord for that, too. So you see how we're just going through the day. It isn't no huge, grandiose manifestation of his presence that's happening, but it's intentionality on my part to devote myself to him, to correct myself when I'm getting off, and to acknowledge him in all of my ways. And the more I began to do this and have been intentional about doing this, the more and more peace and harmony that I felt. And what I'm telling you, I'm not telling you any like complicated, crazy things. But I'm just saying, hey, quiet some of the extra noise by being a bit disconnected. Find ways to integrate him into your life when you're on the move and not just in your prayer closet or your designated space. And then recognize your patterns of behavior that take you out of harmony, pause, and course correct. These are 3 simple things that I've been doing. And I'll tell you, it's made all the difference. If y'all follow me for a day, y'all would be like, girl, what are you doing? Because it's that busy. And there are many moving parts. However, his grace is sufficient. And all of these scriptures that I know and I've used to encourage myself, I'm telling you, I've experienced them in new ways lately as a result of pursuing this internal harmony. And so I pray for the last 30 minutes, I've been giving you this update and giving you three strategies that you can apply that I have been using for the last few weeks. I pray that this has given you wisdom and insight and that you apply it so that you can get to that place of internal harmony as well. So we're not done with today's episode because we still have to talk about the third psychological factor that keeps us from internal harmony, and that is emotional suppression. In psychology, emotional suppression is considered a form of emotion regulation, specifically a response-focused strategy where a person attempts to inhibit the outward signs of emotion after the emotion has already been activated. So you feel those tears coming up, your eyes start getting glossy and you swallow them back down. You feel that anger coming up and you push it back down. You feel that happiness and that excitement coming up, but because you don't want to be disappointed, you push it back down. That's emotional suppression. When you are somebody who suppresses your emotions, it may reduce the visible expression. So people may not see that smile on your face or those tears come down your eyes, but it doesn't reduce the internal emotional experience. In fact, according to psychologists, it can create a physiological arousal such as an elevated heart rate and cortisol levels. Over time, this can lead to chronic stress, immune suppression, and mental health issues like anxiety and depression. Studies show that women are socialized to suppress more. Due to gender norms, women are often expected to be emotionally available, but not too angry, not too needy, not too much. This leads many to internalize their pain and appear emotionally together, in air quotes. A study published in Psychological Science found that emotional suppression is correlated with lower life satisfaction and diminished well-being, especially amongst young women. Research shows that Black women in particular face pressure to suppress vulnerability due to racial and gender stereotypes that label emotional expression as weakness or threat. The strong Black woman schema, while rooted in resilience, often leads to chronic emotional suppression, decreased likelihood of seeking mental health support, and increased risk of anxiety, depression, and somatic illness. Suppression impairs authentic relationships. Suppressing emotions creates relational distance, and I will argue that that includes relational distance with the Lord. You may appear fine to others, but feel unseen, misunderstood, or resentful inside. Over time, this breeds emotional isolation. Emotionally expressive individuals are more likely to form deep, trusting relationships. Now, emotional suppression is different than disembodiment that we talked about in a previous episode. Disembodiment means or says, I don't know what I feel anymore. Suppression says, I feel this, but I'm pushing it down. Suppression often leads to disembodiment because you push your emotions down so much, you get yourself to the point where you're no longer able to feel them because you've disconnected from it completely. So for those of you who may not fully be in a disembodiment type of state, I would ask, do you find yourself with these emotional suppression behaviors? Remember, I talked about earlier how we have to recognize the patterns of behavior that lead us out of internal harmony so that we could actively course correct. This is one of them. When you feel those tears well up in your eyes and you want to push it down, pause. The way I have my thing where I take 4 breaths in, 6 breaths out to calm my central nervous system when I want to zoom, zoom, move, move. If you feel like those tears are coming and it's your pattern of behavior to push them down, pause and just cry. That's it. That's it. If you feel that excitement come up, and this is so funny because this actually happened with a friend of mine this week where she is in the running for a job with a very prestigious organization. And she was telling me about it and I was so happy for her. And she was saying how she's trying to weigh the excitement with the disappointment or something like that. And I said, well, what are you disappointed about? Because you just told me that you did great on your interview. I'm confused as to where disappointment has come in at. And she was like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, just take the information that you have right now and just let yourself be happy. Let yourself rest in being happy with what where you are right now. You know that you have this interview. You know that this is definitely the Lord. You know that this interview went great. You should feel proud of yourself. You should feel optimistic. You should feel grateful. You should feel excited, not trying to suppress it in order to save yourself from some disappointment. And the funny thing is, that don't even work. You're pre-upset today about something that may or may not happen down the line. That doesn't make any sense. And yet, so many times we always do it, where we rob ourselves from the joy of the Lord of today by trying to worry about the disappointments that could be happening tomorrow. So we want to make sure that we deal with emotional suppression so that it does not become disembodiment. It's great that you could still feel. We're taking it too far if you get to the point where you're numb. I want us to save ourselves before we get there. Emotional suppression also does you a disservice in your business. You may be packing up the trophies on the outside, doing all the things and looking good on the outside, but inwardly, it's going to impact things. Emotional suppression hinders your emotional intelligence, which we know is a key leadership trait. If you don't have emotional intelligence, you are going to experience some difficulties as it relates to leadership. I don't care how well put together you look on the outside, this is going to impact you. And we know of the ways it'll impact us, like burnout and stress and anxiety and all of that, but it's also going to hinder your effectiveness in the product and services that you provide. Remember, we talked about in our Bible on Business series how we should view ourselves as shepherds, as entrepreneurs. I'm talking about us as Christian entrepreneurs. You can't effectively do that with emotional suppression. You can't effectively show up and market your business. You can't show up in your branding. You can't show up in your content. You can't show up in your client relationships in a way in which you are making true impact when you are suppressing your emotions. You can't do it. I promise you can't. You may have been doing some version of it up until this point, but I promise you, if you overcome this hurdle and then you show back up in your business with this new level of emotional intelligence, with this level of wholeness, with this internal harmony, if you bring that to your business, watch what happens. Watch how your business grows. And remember, we're talking about kingdom entrepreneurship. Growth is not just about money, because we're not doing this just for money. We are doing this to serve the Lord and his people that he has entrusted us with. So when I say watch what happens in your business, I mean watch those who you are going to contribute to their life being better in some way. And because it's a business, it's going to come with referrals. They're going to tell people about it, and then that's going to translate into more money in your pocket as well. But we have to deal with this emotional suppression. We have to deal with anything that keeps us from having the closeness and the intimacy with the Lord that we need to have and operate from. So you may be listening to this and you're like, okay, Tatum, I hear you. I hear your testimony. I hear the peace in your voice. I hear what you're saying, I want to experience that as well. You may be listening to this particular episode on emotional suppression and say, man, that's me. I don't allow myself to feel. I just push it down. The emotions are there, but I don't let them fully rise to the surface. I want to eliminate that so that I can have that internal harmony. What do I do? Of course, what I'm always going to tell you, or where I'm always going to send you, is back to the Lord, specifically through your word. But I want to tell you exactly where to go in the word. And I want to do that because I feel like there's this toxic faith that says if you deny your humanity, then somehow that means that you have faith, to where this perverted definition of faith somehow means I don't feel, I don't have fear, I'm not sad, I'm not this because God is good. No, I'm sad. I'm anxious about this. I'm afraid of, and God is good. And because God is good, He will help me to navigate these emotions. Me suppressing my emotions do not make me more holy. I cannot stand that toxic faith. And I know so many people who believe that, and I reject it wholeheartedly. But I want to send you back to the Word because I want you to see the humanity that's there and see how the Lord does not instruct us to be cold and numb. We are human. These emotions that he has placed on the inside of us, they serve a purpose. Sharla, whose podcast that I posted last week that you guys should go listen to, she talks a lot about how your emotions have purpose and how they could be speaking to you, or the Lord could be speaking to you through how you feel, and you should pay attention to it and what it may be saying. So I want to send you to your Word so you could see the truth of human emotions. And who I want you to study in particular, I want you to study two individuals in one book. Take your notes out if you can. If not, I'll put this in the show notes as well. First, the obvious, I want you to study Jesus. Jesus was human. He was just as human as he is God. And he modeled the perfect emotional expression. He wept, according to John 11:35. He felt compassion, according to Matthew 9:36. He showed righteous anger, according to John 2:13-17. And he expressed agony in Luke 22:44. He didn't suppress his emotions, but he submitted them to his Father. And that is the example that we need to follow. We don't suppress. We submit. Those of you who are dealing with this, when you pause to course correct, say this the way that I tell you, hey, breathe in for 4, out for 6. I say that to myself out loud so that I could do it. I want you to say, we don't suppress, we submit. So when that excitement comes and you want to push it down, because you think it's going to help you avoid disappointment, pause. Let that be a red flag. Boop, boop, boop. No, we don't suppress. We submit. When something happens and your eyes well up and those tears want to fall and you want to make all the faces and scrunch your face up to send those tears back. No. Do-do-do. We don't suppress. We submit. That's you talking to yourself. We is you and you. If you're upset and you're angry, don't lash out or do anything crazy. But if that's how you feel, then that's how you feel. Instead of suppressing it, let that be a red flag. Alert, alert. Blah, blah, blah. We don't suppress. We submit. 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 I'm repeating it over and over again because I want it to get into your head. I want you to hear my voice if you don't hear your own. We don't suppress. We submit. The next person I want you to study in the Word is David. David is the total opposite of suppression. David had a lot of feelings. He wrote most of Psalms, which is the book in the Bible I actually want you to study. But he openly, through his Psalms, expressed fear, sadness, joy, guilt, confusion, anger. In Psalm 6:6, he says, I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping. Psalm 51:17 says, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David was extremely emotionally transparent. And David is regarded as a man after God's own heart. And so I want you to study him as well and his vulnerability. And the best place to do that is the book of Psalms, so that you could hear from his words, his emotional honesty and vulnerability. Now, we know Psalm got a lot of chapters. Remember I said earlier how you don't have to just sit all the time for your quiet time or to study the word? Just play it. When you're getting dressed, instead of listening to a podcast or watching a YouTube video, just go to the Bible app, start with one, press play, and let it play. When you're in a car, instead of listening to music, let it play. If you're at work and you work with headphones in because you're on a computer, instead of having background noise on, just play song. If you got to have some tears fall at your desk, let them fall. Why? We don't suppress, we submit. We don't suppress, we submit. So that's your homework. If this episode resonated with you, if this is something that you deal with, if you're inspired by what I talked about earlier and how I feel like I have experienced a peace that surpasses all understanding for the first time, consistently in just regular life, I've experienced it as it relates to trials and certain things I've gone through that the Lord has shown up for. But to just be going about the busyness of my day to day, that seems unfathomable to a lot of people for me to be doing so much. How I have a peace, I can only attribute that to the Lord. It's not by my might, not by my power, but it is by his spirit. And I want you to experience the same. So we have to address this issue of emotional suppression. And you do that by going to the Lord. And one of the ways I suggest that you do that is through his word and finding encouragement and finding permission through studying Jesus, through studying David, through reading the book of Psalm. Give yourself permission to feel. And in that prayer time, as you're speaking to the Lord, as you're driving and praying, as you're having those dialogues with him, ask him to show you how to overcome this hurdle so that you can arrive to what internal harmony looks like for you. So I think this is a good place to end. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This episode has been another example for me of internal harmony because I am exhausted physically. I don't know if you could tell on this episode. I hope you can. I know I can't. I feel invigorated as I am speaking, but physically I'm sure once I hit submit on this episode, she's going to be knocked out. But it's the Spirit of God that has empowered me to be able to even communicate this to you right now. And I want the same for you. I want the same harmony experience for you. So again, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.